Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, we invite you to call right now. The number is 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. We are live on the air and online so that you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the issues that are important in your life right now. So we've opened up those phone lines, and again, the toll-free number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? You know, we talk about the grace of God all the time on this broadcast. We've been talking about it in light of the Exodus story and how God set the people free so that they could experience a new life in a promised land. Can you imagine, you know, asking those folks, so what shall we do? Shall we go back to Egypt and be slaves all over again? Well, that's kind of the context of what Paul is asking right there. So what shall we say? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? How do you answer that, Andrew?
Yeah, Bob, you know, it's the classic Christian question when it comes to God's grace, because frankly, God's grace is not going to be exhausted. It's not going to run out. We're never going to exhaust the blood of Jesus Christ. So if we're forgiven people, then I guess the question is, why behave? And Romans 6 is shouting so clearly that, you know, there's been this heart surgery, there's been this DNA swap, and you truly are different on the inside. And Bob, I think that, you know, that's perhaps the most neglected message within Christianity. We're still saying that we're simultaneously saints and sinners, and we think we need a balance in terms of the view of ourselves. And here's Paul, Peter, James, and John, and they're writing the church, and they're saying, you're saints, you're children of God, you're holy, you're blameless, you've been changed at the core of your being, you really are different. This is not make-believe, it's not just Bible talk, it's not God putting some Jesus glasses on and pretending. God is not pulling the wool over his own eyes here. He sees reality, and he says you're born of him, and when the Spirit of God births someone, we have to ask some tough questions. What does that person look like? What is that person's heart really like? What do we really want? When the sky's the limit, when forgiveness has been given, hey, Christian, what do you really want? And Bob, the answer to that is surprising, because really, we've become obedient from the heart, and we don't even want to sin at the core.
Yeah, and that's I think that's an important truth for us to really grasp. You know, there's this flesh hanging on us, and sin still living in that flesh, and it's still responding to the things of the world. It still kind of tugs at our hearts and tries to move us in that direction. But once we've been born again, once we've been made new at the core, as you would say, that's when the conflict starts. We don't want to go there. But the flesh keeps saying, well, you're going to find happiness, but something inside of us is resisting that. And it's that new creation, isn't it?
Yeah. In fact, you know, it's almost like self has become a dirty word in Christianity, because we're not seeing that we're the new self. And so if you go to church, you're told, never think of yourself. You're told perhaps, you know, that yourself is the problem, that you've got to get rid of yourself. And it almost turns into an Eastern mysticism thing where you exit stage left and here comes God, and it's all God and none of you. But Christianity, the real thing is more beautiful than any of that. It is that you become the new self, the new creation. The old self dies. That's Romans 6. The old self is crucified and buried, and then you are raised as a new self. So whether we like it or not, we've gotta grab a hold of this new vocabulary, where self is not a dirty word. If you're the new self, if you're in Christ and you're a new creation, then you are actually united to Jesus, and you're like him at the core, because he made you born again. And so, you know, it's like we Christians, we want to try to be over humble or try to be too humble or try to imagine what our version of humility is. But real humility is when we wrap our minds around what God says about us. And what God says is, hey, Christian, you're the new self, and you're united with me. You're seated right next to me in heaven, and you're compatible with me now. You're not a dirty worm. You're not someone who needs to be taken out of the picture. I'm not trying to replace you. I want to embrace you because I've already made you new at the core, and that is a huge deal, isn't it?
It is a huge deal. Well, thank you for that, and we'll look forward to talking more about it on today's broadcast.
Yes, we want to invite our listeners, as always, to come in and be a part of this broadcast at 844-322-2742. If there's something on your mind, let's talk about it right now. The lines are wide open. We await your calls. 844-322-2742.
Let's go to Yonkers, New York, and talk with David, listening to us on our great affiliate, WMCA. Hi, David. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thank you. I have two very important questions because I think it will help me change my outlook on how I deal with people and problems and look at life. The first question is there any scripture that states or implies that we are to judge and judge righteously using the word of God, whether it's believers or non-believers?
David, that's good question.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Andrew. Mm-hmm.
Well, it is a great question because, you know, Paul tells us not to judge outsiders because God is the one who judges those. There is a place for discernment, and sometimes the word judge is used in a discerning way. And so what that means is we can discern whether something is of the Lord or not, and so there's definitely a place for discernment within the body of Christ. We're not judging, meaning we're not levying some sort of punishment or some sort of verdict on other believers, but we're wise to be discerning. And so, you know, God is the one who judges outsiders. He didn't come to judge the world, but to save it. And so right now he's in the business of saving the world, and that's the message that's on our hearts, to bring the gospel to the entire planet. But there will be a day when those who don't believe, when those who reject the gospel, there will be a day of judgment. But to answer your question directly, we don't go around judging the world. That's going to be God's job. And within the body of Christ, we're not in a judgmental sense. We're not being legalistically judgmental, but we do want to be discerning. The Bible says that you'll know people by their fruit. There's times when church discipline is needed, and we don't just want to excuse a bunch of stuff in the name of Jesus and give the world the wrong impression about us. So I hope that helps. I mean, you can reference Corinthians when Paul used discernment. You can recognize various times when Paul is talking about the world, and the message that we have for them is one of salvation, not of judgment. So does that help some?
Yeah, it helped a lot, believe me. The second question is tied into it in a way. I think I've been very blessed. I've always been wired by God to forgive people immediately. It's like it never happened, and I thank God for that. But what about holding people accountable? Because God, I couldn't, again, pick a reference, but, I mean, we know God holds us all accountable. But what about us holding people, again, believers, non-believers, accountable when they do something, if we, as our opinion, put it on a high level, oh, this was something very serious, it cost me thousands of dollars, it cost my reputation, it cost me a job, whatever, do we hold people accountable somehow, and how is that?
Yeah, well,
I can
you know,
tell you
First
exactly
Corinthian...
what the reason is. I can give you the example if you want. I have no problem.
Well, yeah, sure. You're welcome to do that, brother. Go ahead.
My brother and sister, he's a doctor, she's a lab tech, and they're coming after me through my mother. My sister stole all my mother's financial information and social, and has been monitoring her assets for over a year. And I've been helping her, and we moved some stuff out of mutual funds because of the market into fixed annuities. And now they're trying to claim my mother's incapacitated and have her, you know, into a home or something. So I'm spending money I don't have on a lawyer, thousands of dollars I just don't have to throw away. And so far, we got halfway through. The judge doesn't think there's anything wrong with her, but we go back to court in another week for the financial part, and I'm spending
right.
weeks of putting all the stuff together for 5 years and showing, you know, it's going to tie out and show I didn't do anything, mm-hmm. but what do I do when we walk away and say, I told you so?
Okay.
I think
yeah,
I think I've got enough, brother.
I've got enough details on that, because I think ultimately what I would say to you there is that you can, you know, you work your hardest in the sense of the legal standpoint, preparation, and defending your situation. I mean, if you need to defend yourself in a court setting, then you don't need to shy away from that simply because you're. In Christ, I mean, you know, the reality is that out of a love for your mother, out of a love for your family, you may need to make some moves that are godly, they're sound-minded. But at the end of the day, this person has hurt you, they've harmed you, they've drug you into court, they're trying to hurt you financially, they're trying to hurt your family. And so there is a forgiveness issue personally between you and them. And so that's when you're going to want to say, for your own benefit, maybe they don't even know it. Maybe they don't even hear it or benefit from it in any way. Maybe they don't want to talk to you again. But you can say before God, you can say, I forgive this person and I release them from what they owe me. And even if they do it again to me, I just don't want to hold on to this bitterness, God. I don't want to hold on to this resentment. I don't want these attitudes to control me. And so this debt of good treatment that they owe me, I'm going to release them from that debt. And so it doesn't mean that you're a doormat. It doesn't mean that you just take everything that comes their way without any common sense preparation. But it does mean that personally, between you and them, there is a time when you release them from that debt and forgive them, because that's what your heart really wants. You don't want to hold on to resentment against another person. It's just not in your nature anymore. Okay?
Thanks. You guys are great. And I ask God to bless you, your families, and your ministry.
Well, thank you, David. Thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it.
Certainly do. And that's one reason that one of the great reasons we're on the air live every day, so that you can pose your question to the guys and get guidance for whatever the situation is. So, friends, please remember basic gospel in your giving, your prayers and gifts. Keep this the love of Jesus on the airwaves and online. So please help us keep this good news coming. Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. And as we've said over the past month, a gift of $15 or more will get a copy of Bob Christopher's brand new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, on its way to you as our gift. So again, just click donate at basicgospel.net or speak with Billy, our operator, at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Queens, New York, and talk with Patricia, listening to us on WMCA. Patricia, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Blessing, good afternoon. I thank God for his gospel going through the airways. I just want to stand in agreement with grace. The scripture in Romans chapter 6, when he exposed sin and say we don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. But the walk with Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, the reason he's being here is to guide us and to shred us. He's the potter, we're the clay, as he continues to mold us. So as believers and Christians, we shouldn't be afraid, because when we fall, not that we're going to tempt God and try to sin more so we can gain grace, but when we fall, thank God that he's able to pick us up, brush us off, and to mold us. Because our fall is a testimony for the next one behind that is struggling. And that's what I find in my walk. We can't live grace. Grace lives us. As it says, be transformed by the renewing of our mind, which is the word of God, spirit, and life, that as we eat it, as we meditate upon it, it will quicken us in the time. As you say, he will bring forth fruit in its season to come up and spring up in that power that we needed. So as believers, I just want to encourage myself plus everyone else to continue read the word and stop trying to do the work of the Holy Spirit and just let him work through us
Well, Patricia, let me just jump in and say that's going to preach it real
does.
Well. I'm telling you, you're just hitting the nail right on the head with those great words. You know, our hope for, you know, anything positive in the Christian life is pinned to the power and presence of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Christ in us, our hope of glory. Grace is what puts Christ in our lives. He comes to live inside of us, and we can move forward, letting go of the old, moving forward into the new, knowing that Jesus Christ is there every step of the way, and it's actually His life that we get to experience. So, Patricia, thanks for the great words. Thanks for the wonderful encouragement to our listeners today. God bless you, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go to Oregon and talk with Lori, listening to us on KORE. Hi, Lori.
Oh. I enjoy listening to you. I'm at work right now. But my thing is my husband and I both love the Lord. Are you there?
We are here. We are listening.
Okay. And I just want to make sure that I believe the Bible. My husband is the head of the house. I believe that with all my heart. But my kids, some of my kids are not saved. And they like, when we go to see them, they like to have a drink. And I've been telling my husband, we're supposed to be representatives of Christ. But he thinks it's okay to have a drink. He says, Paul, you know, wrote that I can do all things aren't profitable. But so I keep telling him, well, we're supposed to be a living example of Christ. Mm-hmm. And we can't be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Lori,
not my heart.
But do your
he
children...
feels like it's okay.
Do your children drink?
Yeah.
Okay,
because
so you're talking about
their
your
mom used to. Yeah, my.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about your husband. Your husband's choosing to drink when he goes over to their home, and they drink themselves, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it bothers me.
Yeah. Well, you know, the fact that it bothers you is between you and your husband to work out. But, you know, I think that your real question is, from God's vantage point, what does God think about all this? And the reality is that, you know, 10 years or 30 years from now or whatever, when you're looking back on your life and your relationship with your children, are you going to be...
I can tell.
But are you going to be looking back thinking, I am so glad that we never drank in front of them? Or are you going to be asking, you know, or saying, I'm so glad that we exuded the love and grace and forgiveness and kindness of Jesus Christ to them?
And we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing.
Go ahead. Please.
Well, the scripture tells us not to be drunk with wine, but it doesn't tell us not to drink. In fact, Jesus drank, and he made wine at a wedding, and they said it was some of the best wine they'd ever had. So So we have to fall back on what the scriptures say about this issue, and rather than turning, we don't want your children to think that Christianity is a behavior improvement program. We don't want them to think that Christianity is just a clean up your act and stop drinking and stop smoking type thing. We want them to see that Christianity is about Jesus. Whether someone drinks a glass, whether they drink a glass of wine or not, it's about Jesus Christ, and that's the focus we want to keep. So I'd encourage you if your children...
Back my husband.
Yeah, support him, and if their conscience is not bothered, then, you know, I think there's freedom there for the believer, and I wouldn't make this into an issue. Just keep your eyes on Christ and keep communicating his love to your children.
I do. I love these kids with all my being.
Yeah.
Well,
thanks, Lori.
I love them, and thank you, because my heart, I get torn up sometimes. It's like, honey, please. But, you know, I believe the Bible, and the husband is the head of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what anybody else says. They've made fun of me. I don't care what they say. But him and I have a really good relationship. and we can talk.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I always agree, but if I can't get him to come around my way of just thinking, I take it to the good Lord and say, show me if I'm wrong. But I just needed some reassurance on this. And so thank you guys for being there.
Well, thank you, Lori.
Yes, thank you.
What I'm going to do, Lori, I'm going to put you on hold. I want to send you a copy of a book called Love Is. And it just takes a really detailed look at 1 Corinthians 13 and how to kind of share that one with another. So let me put you on hold. We'll get your information. We'll send that to you. Okay, Lori?
You're so awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
There's lots of good information at store.basicgospel.net, including Love Is and other items. We encourage you to go there, store.basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks. Let's go down to Temple, Texas, and talk to Lewis, listening to us on KBBW. Hi, Lewis. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
How you doing? Thank you for taking my call. My question is, the name Jehovah, Yahweh, is it right that the scholars don't know how to correctly pronounce him? We've lost the name, but does it even matter because Jesus is the name that is above every name?
Good question, Lewis. Very good question. I think you're right. Jesus is the name above every other name. It's by his name that we are saved. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved, and that's good news. But what we need to realize is that God, who revealed himself in the Old Testament through the various ways and means, has made himself known to us in Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we see in the Old Testament, when Moses asks, "Who am I to say, you know, is going to lead us?" He says, "I am that I am." That's God's name. That's who he is. And we see Jesus taking up that same vocabulary in the New Testament in the series of statements that he makes about himself. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of this world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the gate. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. Jesus was making connections that this God that revealed himself to Moses and to those in the Old Testament has now revealed himself in flesh and blood in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's by him that we are saved. So I think that's an important thing to know, that Jesus is God in human flesh.
Yeah. Every name used of God in the Old Testament refers to Jesus as he's been revealed to us.
Yes,
every
indeed.
One of them.
Does that help, Lewis? We sure appreciate your call today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, a quick question from Christopher, who listens online in South Africa, says, "Thank you for the blessing that you are to so many of us around the world by sharing the heart of the Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. I see so many discouraged, disappointed Christians. What part of the good news are they not hearing or missing? I understand that this world, in this world there are serious trials and tribulations. However, Jesus said, 'Cheer up, for I have overcome the world.' How can I, as a believer, be an encouragement to those specific believers who just can't seem to get the good news?"
Well, I think they miss the good news, Andrew, because they're trying to live the Christian life through human effort. They've put all the responsibility on their shoulders, haven't they?
Yeah, and you know, we need to be specific about this grace of God. That's why we're on the air here at Basic Gospel. We don't want to just tell people God is good and God is full of grace, but let's get very specific, because when the enemy attacks us, he tries to steal our joy and steal our contentment in very specific ways. He's an accuser, he's a tempter, he wants to warp the message of God's grace. So let's get specific about our forgiveness in Christ, about our freedom in Christ, and about our identity in Christ. When we get specific about the gospel, that's when the truth sets us free.
Absolutely. Well, Christopher, hope you're listening in South Africa. Hope that's a help to you. Friends, we hope that you will continue to be an encouragement to this ministry and those who listen by your gifts, by your prayers. And we would love for you to join us as a partner right now in supporting this ministry and keeping the good news coming. You can do that by going online to basicgospel.net and just click that that donate link on any page. We would love for you to be a part of it. And with your gift of $15 or more, you'll get a free copy of Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Well, we're out of time now for Bob and Richard and Andrew and the ministry team. Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.